This podcast is sponsored by Runway, air traffic control for your mobile releases. Put your releases on autopilot. Runway will shepherd your release from kickoff to submission to release with no manual intervention. A single source of truth for your releases. Runway integrates with your favorite tools for a bird's eye view over release progress and blockers. Make your releases collaborative. Get a rich, contextualized release runbook that makes capturing responsibilities and tracking tasks crystal clear. Get more control on your releases on App Store and Play Store. Point your browser to runway.team. Thank you for sponsoring my podcast. I'm also revamping my newsletter. Check it out, appforce1.net to sign up. You can also find a sign-up link on my Twitter profile. Hi, and welcome to the 25th episode of my podcast. My name is Jeroen Leenerts and I've been developing software for over 18 years. I've been developing iOS apps for over 9 years, and I'm running the Dutch CocoaHeads for close to 8 years. If you are an iOS app developer, you should listen to my podcast because we'll keep you updated on interesting articles and events you might not have heard about otherwise. In this episode, I'm going to talk about Codable in Swift, designing API using Combined Framework, Swift Collections, Text Editor in Swift UI, and also Danny's Monday morning tweet. So let's get started. It's been 2 weeks since my previous recording. Last week, it was a national holiday in the Netherlands, and I released a recording with Marleen and Kai from Double Glazed Studios. And in those 2 weeks, a lot of things have happened. As already mentioned in previous episodes, I'm dealing with some issues related to my daughter, and the issues that she's dealing with are pretty much the same as the issues that I've dealt with as a kid myself. So it's a big confrontation to actually see what's happening to her and to relate that to my own experiences in primary school. So I'm dealing with those issues and getting through those, but I must say that in some areas of my life I've taken a step back to just reflect a bit and regain my strength and energy and make sure I come back stronger and better as it was before. You could say I hit the big pause button. It's not easy, but for now I think it's the best thing that I can do for myself and my family. I also did a lot of soul searching and thinking about what things I still can do and what things I should skip for a moment. And my conclusion was that I should keep on doing the things that I really enjoy doing and that give me energy. And podcasting is actually one of those things that I really enjoy doing as a hobby. And that also gives me energy. So that's one of the things that I'm going to keep doing. And by the looks of things, for years to come. Now, about my daughter, we're taking the steps necessary to help her and make sure that she has a big improvement in her little life and that she can really make big steps in the areas that she needs to. In the meantime, the construction work on my home is progressing. On Twitter, you might have seen a few pictures of double window frames because they first put in the window frames that are new, and then behind that, inside, are the old window frames, and they're gonna soon start demolishing those and taking those out. So it's gonna be a bit messy inside the house now for the foreseeable future, and hopefully within the next 2 or 3 weeks they will actually finish up. Then we can do the flooring, and then this whole home remodel ordeal is behind us. And now let's get into 2 weeks worth of articles. And because this is a different episode compared to any of my previous episodes, I'm going to do things a little bit different. I'm going to talk a bit about a big topic, Codable, and the articles that I found around that. Also because Danny Walls has released an article series on that topic. And due to that, I also noticed a related article and a related tool that's very interesting. So, Codable. Virtually every modern application needs some way to retrieve and use data from a remote source. This data is commonly fetched by making a network request to a web server that returns the data in some structured format, usually JSON. And when you're working with JavaScript, this JSON data can be easily decoded into a JavaScript object. JavaScript doesn't have strong typing, so a JSON object in JavaScript is really just a JavaScript object. Objects in JavaScript are very comparable to dictionaries in Swift, except they aren't strongly typed and they have a couple of extra features. But that's way beyond what Danny has covered in his post. In his post, he's going to take a look at what the Codable protocol is. And in the meantime, he has already released a couple of other articles that go much more in depth on the topic of Codable in Swift. So you should check out this article series by Donny and see what you think and make sure that you understand what he is talking about, because being able to deal with codable and decodable in your source code is a big advantage and a necessary skill when you're working with network requests in your code base. So check out Donny's introductory article and the category on codable on Donny's blog. Matthijs Woolard has written an interesting article on bringing polymorphism to codable. Swift's protocol-oriented programming is just so helpful when dealing with polymorphic situations. When you need to persist your data, you end up with some issues though. Codable is not able to determine what concrete type to decode the saved data into when decoding. In his post, Matthijs will share a cut-down version of the polymorphic codable system that he has been using to build Cleora. He suggests to first take a look at his previous post that introduced the user property wrappers in complex codable situations. When encoding polymorphic types, it is important to include an identifier of the concrete type that is being encoded, and this will be used later in the decoding stage. More information in his article. If you need a way to quickly hash out the codable structures that you could use to actually decode a piece of JSON, please have a look at quicktype.io. It's a convenient web editor, and they also have an Xcode integration that allows you to easily paste in a bit of JSON and see how it actually will end up in, for example, a codable structure. Majid writes in his article, Designing API Using Combined Framework. Combined Framework provides a declarative Swift API for processing values over time. It allows to chain, transform, and reduce multiple operations. This week, Majid will teach you how to design your APIs using the combined frameworks to leverage all the data processing powers that the framework provides you. He goes into details on future and deferred publishers and pass-through subjects. More info on his article on his blog. Now on to Swift Collections. On April 5th, Caroy Lorenzi writes on Swift.org that he's thrilled to announce Swift Collections, a new open source package focused on extending the set of available Swift data structures, like the Swift Algorithms and Swift Numerics packages before it. They are releasing Swift Collections to help incubate new functionality for the Swift Standard Library. The Swift Standard Library currently implements the three most essential general purpose data structures, array, set, and dictionary. These are the right tool for a wide variety of use cases, and they are practically well suited for use as currency types, but sometimes in order to efficiently solve a problem or to maintain an invariant, Swift programmers would benefit from a larger library of data structures. The expectation is that the collections package will empower Swift developers to write faster and more reliable programs with less effort. In the article, a brief overview is provided on the new data structures that are available in the Swift collections package. There's also a lot of detail provided on the performance of the contents of the package, and the relation to the Swift Standard Library is explained. Once you've read the overview from the Swift.org website, have a look at the articles provided by Rob at advancedswift.com. He has two articles, one on ordered dictionary and one on ordered set. If you read up on those two articles, you have a general feel of how you can use these two new additions that are available through the Swift Collections package. Now onwards to some more practical Swift UI related topics. Text editor in Swift UI. This is an iOS 14 specific component. In this article, Gabriel gives an overview of what the text editor in iOS 14 is capable of doing, how you can put it on your screen, what modifiers you can use on it, and how you can react to text changes. If you need an overview on using a text editor in Swift UI, have a look at the article by Gabriel. And those are the articles of this week. Let's have a look on the Monday morning tweet by Donny Walls. Josh Holtz is giving a talk at Swift Heroes this week. Brad Silva is going to finish his first app this week, and then he's off for first rounds of real testing. Michael is banging his head into the wall with Siri intents and keeping core data in sync between app and extensions. Nadim had a productive weekend with his VMob tool. He's figuring out Android part of it, and iOS is working like a charm. It even generates a .h file. Philip, without any previous planning, is starting a new app which should make the life easier for Nintendo Switch owners. He's planning on releasing it this week. Private Moshi is releasing an app. It's nothing special. He wrote it a year ago, and he decided the other week, why not release it? Juan, he'll be giving a talk about Flutter at his internal company meetup. It's a presentation to 5 people, but he's nervous anyway. Ruslan is looking forward to the core data workshop that Donny is providing. Andy has renewed his developer membership. Tommy is working on a national holiday side project app. This way he will never miss National Taco Day or National Pancake Day ever again. Core is wishing Donny a good morning, and he's hoping he had a nice weekend. He took the early morning to improve the Push Hero app with smart JSON messaging editor and also convert from paid to freemium with the help of Revenue Cat. Trent is continuing to work on his Twitter scheduling and analytics app Draft Desk. This week he's focusing on adding thread support, and at the moment it's all single tweets. Alexa is thinking of using SwiftUI in production, so the limitation is support for iOS 13. He's wondering whether or not the combination of SwiftUI and Combine, used everywhere, is ready for production. Denise has finally learned about test plans in Xcode and how to use Xcode build on the command line, and she learned about XE result tool in this WWDC talk from 2019. And the list goes on and on. And there's a lot of app releases and people learning and just general good stuff there. It's well worth to check out all the replies to the message by Donny. And that's it for this week. If you have any feedback, please reach out on Twitter at AppForce1. And please have a look at the show notes for all the topics that I discussed and links to other content that I create. Talk to you next week.
Lead Developer, best practices and tips for lead software developers. PDF, MOBI and EPUB format. AppForce1.net/lead developer. All one word.